If you missed any of Scoops with Danny Mac throughout the course of the week or today, no problem. Go to 101ESPN.com, shows on demand tab, Scoops with Danny Mac right there. You can catch up with Cardinals broadcaster Dan McLaughlin, who now joins us via the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. Danny Mac, we were just talking about this. I think the crowd noise and how it will impact any sport is a bit overblown. There's some exceptions, but I think it's a little overblown. What do you think?
First of all, happy Memorial Day weekend to you three guys.
Same to you.
I think it's going to be, well, I don't know. I'm looking at it two different ways. For instance, I was just watching the KBO, and so I'm watching the replay of the game last night, and I do watch it with a keen eye towards the broadcast because if we get it, that'll be my role. I think once you get used to it, Anthony, I think we're going to be fine with it. And so to your point, I think it maybe gets overblown a little bit. When you have the big moments, a walk-off homer, huge strikeout in the eighth or ninth inning, and you don't hear the roar of the crowd. And a lot of times, as Brad knows, when we do games and we've talked about how we want to approach a situation, you kind of lay out, let the crowd take it to break, which I do multiple times. I won't do that now, I don't think. But I just think once we see it, we get used to it. I'm not a NASCAR fan, but I wanted to watch how they did their broadcast, and I thought like their use of drones and things of that nature were really interesting, and once I watched for a few minutes, it was still the same guys making left turns. So, I just think we get used to it, and if it's what we have to deal with, we deal with it and move on.
Dan, I've watched the last two NASCAR races, and I was really interested on the same front, right, broadcast-wise, how they do it, but now there's been a side effect. I think that I'm in NASCAR when I drive to work now.
Well, that's not good either.
No, it's frowned upon. I did a Kyle Busch trying to get onto 270 today. I came a little too close to somebody.
I'll tell you what, a lot more traffic, isn't it, fellas?
Yeah.
I mean, the last week or so, I noticed it, and then I was out today getting my kids fishing poles for the big weekend. So going out to Bass Pro Shops and trying to get on, I guess it was 270 to 70, and get off to go to Bass Pro Shops, I did notice the traffic. So it's starting to pick up, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you guys think. I wasn't listening, so I apologize. Normally I catch your program, but I do think that we will get used to non-crowds, and I do think players will get used to it. I talked to Matt Carpenter this last week and some other players on some of the town hall meetings that we have with the Cardinals, and I'm always asking that question, and the bottom line I get, and it's not – they don't say if we come back. They're all saying when we come back, which is awesome to hear. And I just think guys miss it so much, it'll just something be something you get used to, and we'll all be used to it and kind of move on.
Totally agree. It's going to be what it is, and we'll get back to whatever normal baseball is in the following year. Dan, what did you make of the news here recently? Because people are excited. Derek Gould wrote about it at STL Today, that internally Cardinals employees are excited about the fact that there's something positive towards baseball. Busch Stadium will be reopening, very limited, but reopening nonetheless for players to come in and get workouts. Same thing down in Jupiter. When you read that news, what does that tell you?
Well, I think they're doing everything they can to get ready and have everybody ready and geared up to be past, let's say, the normal spring training of, let's say, February. And the players I've talked to privately, they've been told that too. So when you report to spring training, if and when we get there, and I'm going to say when we get there, don't be on, February 13th mode. Let's hope that you're in, like, March 1st, 2nd, maybe first week of March mode, so that if we do have 3 weeks of spring training by the end of that camp, not to say that pitchers would be up to seven innings, but be ready to go. I think one of the things I've noticed, guys, and it's kind of a forgotten thing, and I'm sure you guys have talked about it because we have talk radio and you talk about a lot of different things with the current situation. The thing I noticed, and I talked to Taylor Twellman this last week, was when the soccer leagues got back, they had a lot of injuries, a lot, and that gets overlooked. It's not as easy as just rolling the ball out and saying, okay, we're ready, go get them, it's opening day. I think you have to be very careful with all these sports leagues, how guys come back, and especially when you look at the potential of the NHL and NBA, and we know the intensity in those games is different than it is in a October, September, November game. And as it pertains to baseball, it's a really short window to get these games in. Now, I know we've heard 82-game schedule. I've been told that the players want more than that. They'd love to get to that 100 mark. We'll see if that happens. You know, more money, more games. But the idea is that you're going to have to play a lot of games in a short amount of time. And if you do 100 games in a short schedule, that means doubleheaders. So, you know, you got to be careful. And I don't want to see players getting hurt. Inevitably, it's going to happen. But that's going to be a sidebar and, I think, a side issue subject that we'll be talking about leading into the season.
What'll happen with some of these guidelines MLB has proposed as far as trying to keep people safe? And I know they're trying to figure it out, and I'm sure they're getting advice from experts, or at least I hope they would be.
Sure.
But the players want something a little bit different. So how do you think it ends up, you know, happening and working out?
My honest opinion, Ranj, and I thought what they did was great. I really did. You know, no spitting, don't lick your hands, wear batting gloves. Look, they're trying to cover, for lack of a better term, every single base on this, which I get. And they're going to have to go to 27 different cities, and they're all going to have different CDC guidelines. And you're going to have to maybe go to a foreign country at some point with the Toronto Blue Jays. So I get it. You're trying to cover everything. I don't think it's realistic to do all that stuff. I really don't. And that's some of the stuff that's between the white lines and some of the stuff that you're expecting players to do away from the game. I think the majority of them will try to do it and make a conscious effort to do it and try to be safe as much as they can. But once you get into the heat of competition, I just, you know, you're creatures of habit. You've been doing this since you were a little league kid. You've been spitting. I mean, we all play baseball, and, you know, I was watching the Saturday game of the week, and, oh, my favorite player out there was spitting. Well, I'm going to go do it when I play wiffle ball in the backyard, and lo and behold, when I played high school and college baseball, I did it. And when these guys continue to play the game, I would like to think that they'd be in the heat of battle and probably wouldn't even think about doing some of that stuff. And it had just come second nature, and there's nothing you can do about it. Showering after games, I thought that was a little extensive. I mean, you're going to tell Yadier Molina when it's 100 degrees out in St. Louis and he slid into second, had a collision at home, and has got dirt and everything on him, well, go in your car and go home and shower? I don't think so. I don't think that works. What if you have a getaway day and you have to go to another city and you're just going to pile in on the planes in your uniforms? I mean, some of those things need to be worked out. I'm sure they will. I do like, though, that we're not hearing as much here recently of the rhetoric going back and forth. And I'm sure the union and Major League Baseball said, hey, let's try not to leak as much as we can. And usually when you have that, that's when deals get hammered out, is when you don't hear anything. I would say this, too, is that to your point, Ranj, you know, you have these things that you're talking about. I think it's imperative to set a date. And Brad, you went through those negotiations as a player. If you have a hard date, things just have a way to get done. If you know it's June 1st and you got to have it done by June 1st, you'll get in that room and get it hammered out. And I do think that we'll have baseball at some point, and what it looks like will be different. Will they adhere to those rules? I think sometimes we'll see it, sometimes we won't. But bottom line is, I do think we'll have baseball.
Dan, would you say that deadlines spur action?
I think you've got to look. Yeah, I mean, I think, by the way.
Very good, Anthony.
I don't know what you guys are talking about, but anyway, deadlines do spur action, but it's an inside joke with you because I wasn't listening.
No,
and if you want to make me the butt of the joke, it's fine.
It's Dan, not that. It's just.
I said that a couple of times, and these guys just mocked me.
Well, I said that a pandemic doesn't do a deadline. Is kind of what I went with.
They mocked me, Dan. They mocked me, so I was the butt of the joke. But then you come on with all your, you know, your resume and your reputation, and you kind of essentially say that as well, and I just felt good about it, Dan.
Well, here's how I look at it in a serious nature. By the way, right, pandemic should probably get you, you know, going a little bit. I get that. But if you're going to have, let's say, 3 weeks, and your target date, which most have agreed with, is July 1st, 4th, that first week of July, just do the math. I mean, you've got maybe until June 1st, first week of June. And at that point, if you want to get in your 80 games or 100 games, you know, it's you're counting down the days. And if we are to believe that there's a second wave coming in the fall and you want to try to get things done before then, time is of the essence. I'll never forget, I told the story, I think, to Randy off the air, and I might have said it on the air too, but back in 2002, I believe it was, we had labor peace since 94, and we were the first game of the regular season date in August, whatever that was, at Wrigley Field. And I went down. I was with my soon-to-be wife. We were having breakfast, and Steve Klein rolled in, and he said, down at the hotel restaurant, he said, we're not going to play today. It's over. It's over. Pack your things up and go home. And it literally went down to the final, like, few minutes, hour of figuring out the exact deal. And the next thing I knew, I was at Wrigley Field calling ball one. And it was the first pitch. And actually, ESPN picked up our game nationally as kind of a celebration that the deal got done and that we would have a season. So I think it behooves everybody to have some type of arbitrary date in mind to try to get this thing done.
Do you have any idea in your mind, and I really don't know how this is going to go down, but somebody's going to have to concede. When it finally happens, when they get something done, and I do believe they're going to work this out, I just don't know how, who is going to make the biggest concession here to make sure a season gets played?
I don't know the economics well enough. I just don't. But from the outside looking in, I would say the players are making a pretty big concession, having already agreed to reduction in salary, and then maybe, again, another reduction of some sort. But then I say that, and I would say, well, if I was in the owner's shoes, I'd say, now hold on, Dan, you know, owners are making a lot of their money, 40% in some cases, on people in the seats, and now they're saying, hey, we're willing to pay some pretty big salaries and don't have the income coming in terms of revenue. It's going to be a give and take, and I think the other part of this, Ronj, is that the first sport out of the gate is going to have the viewing public of the nation, if not the world, watching them. And that's why I think it's important for baseball to get back, because they could be first. Now, we don't know what's going to happen with the NHL tonight or today or this weekend. We all hear about the meetings, but I think that's got to be important, too, is to say, hey, we can come together and not, I don't know if they're thinking this way, but I do. I try to think of every angle. I know they're worried about safety and protocol and money, and I get that. But from a guy that loves the sport, this is a great way to get out there and have the attention of your little fans, your old fans, the middle-of-the-road fans, a guy that was upset at the previous strike fan, and bring them back to the collective attention of the sport, and maybe even expose yourself to newer fans or the casual fan and bring them back in, and then sell it as, hey, we had our issues, but we decided that this was very, very important. I also think, and your question's a great one, because if you come to an agreement here, what kind of concessions do the sides make going forward when you have a potential work stoppage after next season? And so maybe you try to roll that into some of the things that you're doing next year with anticipated income, revenue streams, that kind of thing. And the other aspect of this, which is, I think about this all the time, is what will you learn that you can do with advertising and sponsorship to get really creative, to squeeze that tourniquet as hard as you can and squeeze every last dime out of it, because you're going to have to be creative. And if that means signage, if that means putting in, like you'll see it on the Blues game sometimes, they'll put in the advertising behind the goal, and it's not blocking the view of those that are at the game, but you're seeing some type of advertiser behind each goal. I'm sure you guys have seen that. The graphic, you know, doing those kinds of things. How you shoot the game television-wise with the angles that you'll be able to have without fans in the stands, and then if you're going to maybe tarp some of the area of the seats or put up netting down the left and right field line, kind of think of your field goal netting, and you've got Allstate behind it, you know, so now you've got another revenue stream of trying to maybe show, when you show that angle, well, you're going to get X amount of times, you're going to have this many eyeballs on it, it costs X amount of dollars to sponsor. Those are things that you got to think outside the box, and I think all of it is on the table right now.
He's Danny Mac, Dan McLaughlin, and he had Bill DeWitt the third on his show today, Scoops with Danny Mac. Cardinals Hall of Fame announcement, they discussed that. Also, Danny Mac had Brian Anderson, host of The Watch, a Brewers announcer as well, on his show earlier. All that can be found, 101ESPN.com, shows on demand. Dan, great stuff as always. Have a great weekend. Enjoy Memorial Day with everyone, and we'll talk to you again next Friday.
This is my first Memorial Day weekend off since the late 80s, early 90s. So wow. I'm going to take it in, and I'm going to have a lot of fun. So looking forward to it.
Good,
have
man.
A great weekend, guys.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it. Thank you. That's Danny Mac here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN, and we have What's Trending coming up next.